And good morning to Jason Kansas. We commence with the best 5 minutes of the day. 14 degrees on a Tuesday, January 4th. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you for breakfast yesterday.
That was really good. I was glad you had suggested that and that I was feeling well and you were feeling well enough for us to be able to get together and eat and talk and just see one another.
Yeah.
And you had made the point that it seemed like it hadn't happened often enough recently, and I agree.
So oh, yeah, totally. Really good. Yeah, I mean, yep. We get 5 minutes a day and a lot of time, maybe a little bit of communication here and there, but yeah. To dive deeper, for sure, is great, and we all need that, and need it with more than one person, truthfully. So, well, we came to a good determination, though, to start the new year that I think the book of Colossians is where we're going to launch into, and we both we have good resonance with that, right?
Yeah, I love the book of Colossians. I think it's one of my, probably my favorite current letter of Paul's, so.
And why is that?
You know, I think so. In Colossians 1, it's just, it's so big. It's so cosmic in terms of Christ's salvation. And I love the big picture of God's grace for everything there. And so I think that's the primary reason. I think it's practical and it's hopeful and it's engaging. So I think that's what I would say about why it's my favorite currently.
And I guess I was just thinking the mighty supremacy of Jesus is expressed as much or at least as good and probably better there than maybe any other particular letter, don't you think? So
for sure. Yep, absolutely.
I think that's a great way to start the year. And I don't know. So what we'll do, the plan is to work through the book and read a scripture or two and then find out what you did in your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. So that's a pretty good plan.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's a great plan.
But today, just like a long jumper, you don't just say, okay, I'm going to jump right from here. You know, you get a running start. So Eugene Peterson does such a good job of the introductions to each of the books of the Bible he does for The Message. I thought, share with us a little bit what he says about Colossians.
Sure. So he wrote, hardly anyone who hears the full story of Jesus and learns the true facts of his life and teaching, crucifixion and resurrection, walks away with a shrug of the shoulders, dismissing him as unimportant. People ignorant of the story or misinformed about it, of course, regularly dismiss him. But with few exceptions, the others know instinctively that they are dealing with a most remarkable greatness. But it is quite common for those who consider him truly important to include others who seem to be equally important in his company, Buddha, Moses, Socrates, and Muhammad for a historical start, along with some personal favorites. For these people, Jesus is important, but not central. His prestige is considerable, but he is not preeminent. The Christians in the town of Colossae, or at least some of them, seem to have been taking this line. For them, cosmic forces of one sort or another were getting equal billing with Jesus. Paul writes to them in an attempt to restore Jesus, the Messiah, to the center of their lives. The way he makes his argument is as significant as the argument he makes. Claims for the uniqueness of Jesus are common enough, but such claims about Jesus are frequently made with an arrogance that is completely incompatible with Jesus himself. Sometimes the claims are enforced with violence. But Paul, although unswervingly confident in the conviction that Christ occupies the center of creation and salvation without peers, is not arrogant, and he is certainly not violent. He argues from a position of rooted humility. He writes with the energies of most considerate love. He exhibits again what Christians have come to appreciate so much in Paul, the wedding of a brilliant and uncompromising intellect with a heart that is warmly and wonderfully kind.
Yeah, super intellect and a warm, loving, kind heart. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and for folks who are interested in that, you know, there's actually a book that is put out by Eugene Peterson called The Invitation, which is just his introductions to each of the books of the Bible. And so that, you know, it's a great resource as well. He's really good at opening our eyes.
It is very rich for sure. All right. Yeah. So here's the plan. All right. So tomorrow we certainly part of this 5 minutes on a daily basis. And even as we launch into year three, thank you for joining us, Jason, from your home. So the idea will be, you know, touching base a little bit, but then, hey, read a little bit of Colossians, a little bit of Letters to the Beloved, and then talk on it. So that's our plan here for the first, you know, probably month plus of the new year. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Great.
There we go. Well, the group Big Daddy Weave formed in Mobile, Alabama in 1998. They've released 9 studio albums to date, but they're in the spotlight here in the last few days because of the passing of Jay Weaver, the brother of Mike Weaver, kind of the lead singer of the group. Jay, the bass player and vocalist, and brother Mike sharing this on Instagram.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for all your prayers for my brother. Man, you have walked with him through a huge fight. And I'm so sorry to bring this news, but I'm also excited to celebrate where he is right now. My brother, Jay, went to be with Jesus just a couple hours ago. And due to complications with COVID-19, you know, on top of everything else that he already had going on. And you guys, man, you've seen him walk the uphill battle, and you guys have helped carry him through so much. And man, I'm telling you, the Lord used him in such a mighty way out on the road for so many years. And anybody who's come in contact with him, man, just knows how real, you know, his faith in Jesus was. And I believe that even though COVID may have taken his last breath, Jesus was right there to catch him. And I know that he's seeing things now that, man, I long to see. My heart's broke. My heart's broke for my family, you know, my family here, but Jay's family in Florida. But we all just really wanted to thank you for walking with us through so much, you know, for so long. And there'll be more information soon, but we just wanted to let you know that the prayers for healing can turn into prayers of thanksgiving now that Jay is in God's presence, you know. We'll all deal with the heartache as it comes. There's that broken part of being in this broken place, you know, until the day we're going to step through and we're going to see what Jay's seeing. You know, I know that there was a great reunion with a lot of folks today. I believe that. I don't know how it all works. I just trust in the Lord, and I know his love for us, and we sense his love, and we have sensed your love as well. And so we just want to say thank you for praying, and man, thanks for walking with us through this crazy, crazy time. And we love you all soon, and we'll let you know more as there's more to tell.
Well, welcome back, my friend. For the first time since Wednesday, as we recap what we've been up to, you go first.
Yeah, so we took a visit to my grandparents in Iowa. So Christmas is usually around New Year's there. We did it on the 30th of December, and that actually turned out well. It was supposed to be a little bit longer trip, but we hardly got touched by it up here other than the bitter cold. But there was a big old winter storm that was going to make traveling absolutely treacherous, and I wasn't willing to take my family out on that. So unfortunately, we only got about 23 hours with Grandpa and Grandma before we had to turn right back and go home. But it was a very short but a sweet time to see cousins and some aunts and uncles and my grandparents. And it's just always wonderful to be able to see them and talk with them. So enjoyed that, and then kind of laid low on Saturday with the cold, and enjoyed some family time, red blankets, watched movies, and thoroughly enjoyed the Packers game on Sunday night. Again, mentioned that in sports, but yeah, it was good to see the Vikings get their comeuppance and to knock them out of the playoffs and secure the number one seed on the same night was great. Hopefully the Packers keep it rolling. But then yesterday, yeah, kind of a bonus day off. So again, just some more reading. And I watched a fascinating documentary on Disney Plus called Free Solo, and it was from a few years ago, but it was about a guy who climbed El Capitan, this incredible, like 3,000-foot cliff face in Yosemite National Park, one of the hardest climbs out there. But he climbed it free solo, which means no ropes, which means if he slipped once, he died. And to see this incredible feat of athletic achievement, one of his fellow climbers said, it's like a gold medal performance to do something like this. It's the caliber of athletics of an Olympic gold medalist, but if you don't win the gold, you perish. And so it was just riveting. So anyway, I'm really into documentaries.
Excellent. I would say my highlight was probably my daughter, Elena. She's a dancer, but also in terms of interested in figure skating and learning to skate better. And yet we live pretty close to McDonough Park,
sure.
And so Dell's Pond. And so she had gone down there, tried to skate, but on Sunday she's like, Dad, would you go? So we walked the dogs down there and trying to shovel some of the snow off the ice. So not an ice fisherman.
Yeah.
So even going out on the ice, not something I do a lot. So doing that and shoveling that, going with her, the dogs, shoveling that. And then yesterday she went after school and skated some, and she was all happy to have a bigger skating area. So I don't know. That was just a fun experience to
share.
Yeah. Having said that, New Year's resolutions, one had to do with exercise and Bible reading. The Bible reading one is still in place, which a lot of years it's fallen off, even in the early going. Because, you know, I got one of those one-year Bibles. It's got
yeah.
a little Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. And so I have track records of years where I started the 1st of January, you can always get. It's keeping it going.
Exactly.
I also said I wanted to try to exercise every day, and that did good until yesterday. So, hey, I made the first 2 days. But
that's something. Get back on the wagon.
Let's start again today. Well, I remember being in Liberia, and when we brought a Frisbee, that was a big deal. I mean, it was just the idea, like, you don't see a lot of those. And so we would get a big group sometimes and play catch. And there was a young man, I remember we tried to toss it back and forth to how many times we could go without dropping it. I don't remember the exact number, but it got up close to 200. Nowhere near what these Minnesota brothers did, Caleb.
Yes, so this started originally in 2020, maybe just something to do, getting out in the outdoors, and you couldn't go anywhere, so trying to pass the time. Ben and Matt Bizdock from St. Cloud State University's Ultimate Frisbee Team broke their own Guinness World Record for the highest number of flying disc catches. I'm just going to say Frisbee, but maybe they can't use the brand name
yeah.
in Guinness. So Ben and Matt, these brothers, in October 2020, they threw the disc back and forth successfully 2,944 times.
Hmm.
That's nuts.
There's got to be something there in terms of how far apart they need to be. But again, this is back and forth without dropping it.
Yes, again and again and again. I mean, a stray gust of wind.
Right. Sure.
I mean, what if you get to, like, you know, 2,920 and all of a sudden something happens?
Right.
Anyway, they thought that wasn't good enough. Let's try and beat it. So just over a year later, on New Year's Eve 2021, they went for the record again, Halvo.
They did, and in fact, you know, you would have thought, well, did they get to 3,000? Higher. 4,000? More. 5,000 would be great. Yeah, higher. 6,000. They topped 6,000. Caleb, they more than doubled it to 6,300 catches.
Again, that's a lot of Frisbee. I like Frisbee, but that's a lot.
How did it end there? I mean, did somebody drop it, or did they just go, that's good?
Well, and that's the thing. It's such a nice round number. Or was it that they, I don't know how long this takes to throw a Frisbee back and forth 6,300 times. Maybe darkness fell. But again, they're both, Ben and Matt, these brothers are both former members of St. Cloud State's University Ultimate Frisbee Team, and said, yeah, they wanted to draw attention to the sport and support their former team. Maybe they were just bored. 6,300 Frisbee catches in a row. At least Minnesota wins at something. Good
Were they
job.
Raising money for a nonprofit? Because that sounds like it sounds like a good fundraiser.
Yeah.
Right?
A good conversation starter at parties.
I may have to think about that for Teamwork Africa or for WIB Incorporated, in fact.
Well, are your neighbors or yours keeping you, are they keeping up their Christmas decorations too long for your liking? It seems like, why is that even your business? But apparently, many Americans, over half of Americans, make it their business. A new survey finds nearly half of Americans judge their neighbors for waiting too long to take down their decorations.
Hmm.
It's cold.
Now, it's very early right now. So, I mean,
yeah.
I can't imagine on January 4th. I mean, no judgment here. But as I was driving at night last night, you know, taking kids here, going to this or that, and bringing Michael home from wrestling, and I'm like, I'm really glad, like keep the lights up at least through January, because of, you know, I can struggle with the seasonal affective disorder, and I appreciate the light and the color.
Yeah, and now here's what the survey found. Nearly 3 in 4 people believe others should pack away all of their decorations before the end of January.
Okay.
So again, at
wow.
this point, we still
harsh.
Seem to be fine, but before the end of January, 3 in 4 people say, yeah, they should be gone. However, over half of people also didn't want to be the first ones on the block to pack them up.
Okay.
So it's like,
right.
well, I don't want to be, you know, the Scrooge,
yeah.
and I don't want to pack them up too early. And we were talking about this off the air. It's not just, you know, and again, I think there is something mental health-wise
mm-hmm.
I love seeing the Christmas tree up. I love seeing the Christmas lights. It really, it does me a lot of good. It really does. Now, I turned off my lights just thinking energy savings, turned off the outdoor lights. We still have the Christmas tree up, and Nora still wants it turned on about every morning. But, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I turned off the outdoor lights, and I realized not only does it help my mood to have those lights on, but I just, like, it's dark. Every time I leave in the dark, I get home in the dark, and I went out to the grocery store yesterday and wanted to pull stuff out of the van and realized I have really been counting on those Christmas lights to light my way into the home, moving up the dark, icy driveway.
So practical purposes, also the celebratory and the color and dealing with the darkness of, you know, so many cloudy days and missing the sunshine. So,
I say keep the lights up.
Absolutely. No judgment here. For sure. Hey, Son, nice post. We're talking about Danny Gokey, our featured musical artist of the month of January with Jesus People. And he had a post the other day. He said, so grateful for all the incredible support at radio this past year for myself and all the other amazing artists listed on the top 50 songs of the year. He says, we couldn't do what we do without them or those of you who listen every day. And he's got the top Good God Almighty from Crowder was listed the most played song of the year. But we've got something going out, kind of a challenge for listeners.
Yeah, so we call this the 30-Day Challenge. You can even share it with others, hashtag 30-Day Challenge. But basically what it is we're just encouraging you in the next 30 days to start the year off listening to nothing but Christian radio, Christian music, Christian programming. And we're saying, again, we'd love it if WWIB is what you listen to all the time. That'd be great. But it doesn't have to be us. We just want you to take that challenge and say, you know what? In my car, in my home, it's going to be Christian music, Christian radio, Christian programming, nothing but that for 30 days. And not just for you, but especially if you have children. What does that do? How does that change your outlook on life? How does that change your family dynamics if there is nothing but, again, Christian music, Christian radio, Christian programming in your home, in your vehicle for the next 30 days? So we're encouraging you to just take that 30-day challenge and just see what happens. Not what we do, not what other Christian radio stations do, Christian podcasts, things like that, but what does God do when you are filling up your family's ears and hearts with the gospel through, again, Christian radio and Christian programming, Christian music? So take that challenge. Try it here.
We did hear from our friend John in Ladysmith, Phillips Craig and Eden fan in the world. And he said, I listen to your radio station all the time, and others tell us that, and we really, really appreciate that.